No reinforcements came to the Confederates, in contrast. Earl Van Dorn didn't show up. So as daylight came on April 7th, Beauregard found himself in the position of having a quite fought-out army on his hands and facing an opponent with 20,000 fresh troops. And the course of the battle on the 7th is quite predictable. It's the reverse of what had happened on the 6th. Grant mounted counterattacks, and slowly the Federals pushed the Confederates back, regaining the ground that they had lost, the Federals had lost, on April 6th. Beauregard's lines were much confused from the fighting on the previous day, and he seemed helpless to stem this Union advance. He kept one eye sort of over his shoulder in the course of the fighting on the 7th, hoping that Van Dorn was going to show up. At one point, a report came that a group of soldiers in white jackets were approaching the field. Well, Van Dorn was a colorful fellow in a number of ways, but had a reputation for a flamboyant side to his personality, and they thought, well, if these are Van Dorn's men, maybe they would have white jackets on. It turned out not to be the case, however. These were some New Orleans troops who were coming to the field. They'd had blue coats on, and as they marched to the field, a Confederate unit had mistaken them for Yankee troops and had fired on them. The New Orleans troops knew that these were Confederates firing on them, but they fired back. They talked eventually about it, and one of the troops who had fired on the New Orleans men said, if you knew we were Confederates, why did you shoot at us? And the New Orleans guy said, well, whenever somebody fires on us, we fire back. But anyway, they took their coats off, they turned them inside out so that the linings were showing. That's why they'd had what appeared to be white jackets on. Bottom line was, they weren't Earl Van Dorn's troops. It was clear major reinforcements were not going to arrive, and Beauregard decided to abandon the field. The two-day battle ended with Grant in possession of the field, and this Confederate army that had been put together with such effort and care completely defeated. The scale of the Battle of Shiloh dwarfed anything that had happened previously in United States history, in American history, I should say, because that encompasses colonial times as well. There'd been nearly 11,000 Confederate casualties in the 2 days, about 10,700. 13,000 Union casualties in the 2 days. There were more casualties at Shiloh, in those smoking woods at Shiloh, in 2 days than in all other battles in American history put together down to that point. If you add up all the killed and wounded from the colonial wars, all the killed and wounded from the Revolution, the War of 1812, the Mexican War, all of them put together, not as many as at Shiloh in 2 days. And that sent a shock to people in both North and South. This war is going to be something far beyond what we imagined, they knew now. If casualties like this can come in 2 days, this tells us that we're in for something that nothing in our previous experience has prepared us to deal with. Now, this could have been a disaster for Grant and Sherman. It was a close thing in some ways. But of course, they held together, held their army together, and they came out with their reputations generally enhanced. This might have been a very difficult day for Grant. It turned out not to be on the 7th. This well-planned Confederate concentration, as I said, came to nothing. The Confederates were soon back at Corinth, and Henry W. Halleck would soon arrive on the scene to coordinate a major advance against Corinth, an advance by an army that eventually would grow to 100,000 men and push against this major railroad center in northern Mississippi. The Confederacy's hope for a victory that would win back some of Tennessee was dashed. Never again in the entire war was there a real chance that the Confederacy would reclaim on a permanent basis any of this crucial Tennessee territory lost in the first few months of 1862. So Shiloh is an enormously important battle for a number of reasons, because it showed the way the war was going to go in terms of scale, because it frustrated this major Confederate counteroffensive, because it set Grant up for even greater things. Now let's move on to the momentum of Union success in the West after Shiloh and just look briefly at some of the other successes the Union had.